the daily grind, the rat race, the 9-to-5, the salt mines, the treadmill, the hamster wheel. These are all quaint colloquialisms that we sometimes use to describe the daily routine that we call work. When it comes to our place of employment, a Christian ought to be asking this very question: what is the role of the believer in the business place? What is the role of the Christian at work? Well, in our text this morning, we're going to find three definitive characteristics that ought to be true of every believer in the business place. First of all, we'll see in our text, Colossians chapter 3, we'll find that the believer in the business place ought to focus on the right promotion. The next thing we'll see in our text is how believers in the business place need to have the right passion. And finally, this morning, we'll see that believers in the business place should seek the right position. And so here in Colossians chapter 3, we'll discover how God wants to glorify Himself through the believer in the business place. Let's jump into our text. We find ourselves in Colossians chapter 3, and we're talking about the first point in our study, the right promotion. When it comes to the business place, many people are seeking the right promotion. Well, just like Andy Simmons. Andy, well, he was working as a janitor for a railway company, and he'd been employed there for over 10 years. But he really, really, really wanted a job as a signalman for the railway. So he applied for a promotion, to be promoted from janitor to signalman. Well, the train station inspector came and interviewed him and asked him, "Andy, what would you do if you realized that two trains were heading for each other? They were going to have a head-on collision. They were on the same track. What would you do?" Andy said, "I would switch the points for one of the trains so that they wouldn't collide." "Well," he asked Andy, "what if the lever broke as you were trying to switch the destination of that train? What if the lever broke?" Well, Andy said, "then I'd dash down out of the signal box and use the manual lever right there at the tracks." "Well, what if that had been struck by lightning, Andy?" "Then," Andy continued, "I'd run back to the signal box and phone to the next signal box to alert the people at the other signal box on what they're supposed to do." "Well, what if the phone was busy?" "Well, in that case," Andy responded, "I'd rush down out of the box and use the public emergency phone at the level crossing right there." "Well, what if that was vandalized and the cord was cut?" "Oh, well, I'd run into town and contact my Uncle Silas. I'd get a hold of my Uncle Silas." And the inspector was puzzled, and he asked Andy, "Well, why in the world would you go contact your Uncle Silas?" Andy declared, "Well, my Uncle Silas, he's always wanted to see a train crash." Needless to say, Andy didn't get the job. When it comes to the business place, most of us desire a promotion. Maybe you studied hard in high school in order to get into a good college. Then you graduated college in hopes of landing that perfect job. And finally, you were hired at an entry-level position. And with a very short amount of time at that entry-level position, you learned one very important fact about work. You learned that your boss, well, is not the sharpest knife in the box. You learn that you are so much more smarter than your boss. I mean, the fact is, your boss graduated from college 20 years ago, and you just came fresh out of college with the newest and best information. And so you know that you need to be employed in a position over your boss. Because your boss, well, kindly put, is an idiot, right? The fact is this, Paul Orfela, founder of Kinko's Copies, reported that 80% of the people in America think that they are smarter than their boss. That's right, 80% of Americans believe that they're smarter than their boss. most of you probably fit into that category. And this explains why so many employees are continually jockeying for their boss's position. They want a promotion. These people, some of them at least, are constantly complaining about the decisions that their boss makes. They second-guess every decision, only creating more problems at work. Some of these complainers even purposefully try to sabotage their boss in order to gain their boss's position. They're trying to get that promotion. But listen, the Christian, the believer in the business place, this ought not be true. It shouldn't be true of the believer in the business place that we are so much about the promotion that we'll do anything to get it, even something underhanded. When it comes to the believer in the business place, rather than focusing on professional promotion, let's first make sure that our life and our business ethic is promoting Christ through Christian work ethics. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae, here in Colossians 3, looking at verse 22. Paul writes, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." You see here in verse 22, Paul is addressing bondservants. What is a bondservant? We should understand that during this period of time, slavery, well, it was all too common. And within the Roman Empire, slavery was actually a way of life. As a matter of fact, there were more slaves in the Roman Empire than there were Roman citizens. One historian points out that in the last days of the Roman Republic, there were more slaves than freemen. So when Paul wrote to the Colossians, slaves made up the majority of the Roman Empire's labor force. Consider this. If you were a school teacher in the Roman Empire, you were a slave. If you were a physician in the Roman Empire, you were a slave. If you were a cook in the Roman Empire, you were a slave. If you were a musician or an actor, you were a slave. If you were a craftsman, you were a slave. If you were in the labor force in the Roman Empire, chances are you were owned by someone else. Now, there should be no doubt, and we could get into the New Testament teachings and show you that Paul was opposed to slavery. However, he realized that it was a fact of life during his lifetime. Paul was not writing to the Colossians a philosophical thesis on the social ills of slavery. Paul's point was not to say that there are slaves in the Roman Empire and slavery is wrong and here's why. That's not the point of our text today. And so we can agree here this morning that slavery is bad and it is wrong, and Paul would agree. But Paul is basically writing to the people of his time period in the context of what they were faced with. And most people in his time period were faced with the fact of slavery. How do you translate that into today's culture? How does that apply to our world today? Well, with this in mind, you could paraphrase verse 22 in this way: employees, obey your boss in all things according to your job. Because here, this morning, our auditorium is filled with teachers and cooks and craftsmen and musicians and actors and people from all walks of life who are employed in many different ways. Paul, in his time period, was basically writing to the employees of his time period. Instead of pointing slaves to seek personal promotion, instead of telling slaves, oh man, you ought to try to get freedom from your master. You ought to seek to become the master over your master. Paul wasn't promoting that sort of promotion. No, Paul was teaching that even bondservants, or in our case today, employees, are called as Christians to be obedient. This word obey in verse 22, well, it's the same if you look back to Colossians 3:20. It's the same word where it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things." You see, the Christian employee at work is called to the same level of obedience to their boss as the child is called to obeying their parents. Don't like hearing that much, do you? That's hard to hear, employees. That's hard to hear as we consider our boss and the things that he or she might ask us to do. I don't want to obey my boss in all things like a child is supposed to obey their parents. Furthermore, Paul calls the believer in the business place to obey their boss from their heart. Not just to act it out, but from the heart, obey your boss. You see, all too often people are putting on a show at work. Oh, they're acting like they're obedient, but in their hearts they're grumbling and complaining the whole time. But in verse 22, Paul writes that our obedience should not be with eye service as men pleasers. Now, this word eye service, it speaks of obedience under scrutiny. Obedience under scrutiny. In other words, eye service refers to those who only do their job in obedience when the boss is watching. Every other time, they're doing whatever they want to do. They're slacking off. They're looking for ways to avoid working hard. They're working really hard to avoid working hard. They're seeking promotion through pretense. They're trying to suggest that they are a good employee when the boss is watching. But when the boss turns their back, when their boss goes off on a vacation, when the boss is away at lunch, they're talking to friends on the phone, they're doing anything other than what they're supposed to be doing. This is working with pretense. It's working with eye service as men pleasers. I've been guilty of this myself, I have to admit it. I have to confess that when I was working at Calvary North Austin, I often fell asleep at my desk because, well, you know, we did a lot of witnessing at night. And so I'd come in tired in the morning and, you know, I'd be at the desk and just kind of start getting that after lunch zone, you know, where you're just kind of struggling and coffee wasn't helping. And so I fell asleep at my desk one day and all of a sudden I heard my pastor, Pastor Allen, walk in, clear his throat, you know, to get my attention. And so I thought real quick and with my head on my desk, I said, "In the name of Jesus, amen." And I lifted my head and go, "Oh, Pastor Allen, I was just praying for you." No, I'm just kidding. I never did that. I'm smart enough to know that you're not supposed to fall asleep at work without locking the office door first. Look, we're not called to go to work and work under our boss with eye service. We're not called to be obedient when they're watching and then not obedient when they're not watching. Paul writes in verse 22 that believers should obey their boss not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. You see, the believer in the business place is called to obey their boss with sincerity. With sincerity of heart. This word sincerity speaks of mental honesty. It means that when you get home at the end of the day, you can look back over your day and say, "I did it all as Christ would have had me to do it." It means that your obedience at work should not be based on self-seeking as well. It means that you're not running around doing all the things that your boss wants you to do so that you can get the promotion. You're not self-seeking, self-serving in your acts of obedience. Sincerity here refers to the employee who obeys their boss simply because it's the right thing to do. That's what Paul is saying here. Not because they want a promotion. Not because they're jockeying for a better promotion, more pay. While many people are obedient to their boss, many of us here possibly are obedient to our boss. Very few employees are obedient for the right reasons. Oh yeah, you might go to work and you might even be obedient, but in your heart, you would do anything else. And Paul's saying, no, that's not right for the believer in the business place. Most employees are obedient because they want a promotion. They want more pay. But Christians are called to obey their boss from the sincerity of their heart. Here's why. God desires to use. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use our sincere obedience to reveal himself to our boss and to our co-workers. And you might run around and be obedient when the boss is watching, but your coworkers watch you when he's not watching you. Are you revealing Christ to them when your boss isn't watching? God wants you to be obedient from sincere. He wants you to be obedient from the sincerity of your heart, so that through you, he can reveal himself to those who are watching you. Now, hold your finger here in Colossians chapter 3 and turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. When it comes to believers in the business place, no matter what your job is, no matter where you work, no matter what position you hold, the Christian worker should focus on the promotion of their faith. You see, the promotion of our faith, the promotion of our faith in Christ supersedes personal promotion. The promotion of our faith in Jesus is more important than our personal, professional promotion. And it's our sincere obedience that becomes the evidence to others of our relationship with Christ. Because if you go to work and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I went to church on Sunday. Yeah, I'm following Christ. But you don't obey your boss from the sincerity of your heart, then your actions destroy your gospel message. But when you, from a sincere heart, will obey your boss, you are beautifying the message that you preach. Because they hear the words, then they see the life. And together, the doctrine of Christ is made beautiful to those around you. This is why Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, verse 9. He instructed Titus to exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Our life should be an ornament on the tree that we might call the gospel. And when we go to work and we proclaim our faith in Christ, our life ought to beautify that message. People ought to look at our lives in the way that we obey our boss and say, wow, that person has integrity. That person believes what they preach. When it comes to work, the question is this, Christian. Are you focused on the right promotion? Are you promoting a lack of faith in Christ through self-seeking and self-serving acts of obedience? Are you a person who obeys in front of the boss but not behind the boss's back, revealing to your coworkers and your boss because they know? Are you revealing to them that you really don't live what you preach? Are you only obedient to your boss for the sake of personal, professional promotion? Are you only obedient because, well, you want a better position? You want more money, more pay? Or, Christian, is your life simply a promotion of the doctrines of Jesus Christ? And you obey from a sincere heart because you don't want your Savior to be blasphemed according to your lifestyle. When it comes to the believer in the business place, we should focus on the right promotion. Nothing wrong with desiring a promotion in the business place. But first and foremost, our life should be a promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the right promotion for the believer in the business place. The next thing I want to talk about is having the right passion. Because not only should our lives be the right promotion of the doctrines of Christ, but our lives should be compelled, should be driven by the right passion. Passion in this sense, well, it speaks of enthusiasm. And here in our text, Paul instructs us concerning the passion of the believer in the business place. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23, where Paul writes, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Let's consider what Paul is writing here, because here in verse 23, Paul tells us that whatever we do, or in the context, what he's saying is whatever your job is, wherever you're employed and however you're working there, do it heartily. Heartily. This word heartily, in this sense, it speaks about being passionate about what you do. Are you passionate about your job? Do you have a passion? Monday morning comes around, the alarm goes off, and you go, yes, I am so passionate about what I do. I'm going to get up an hour early and show up to work early. If you're not passionate about what you do, well, you're not alone. The fact is, most people hate their jobs. Last January, CareerBuilder.com conducted a survey revealing that more than 4 out of 5 U.S. workers are not passionate about their job. More than 4 out of 5 hate their jobs, not passionate about what they do 5 days a week. Chances are, if we were brutally honest, the majority of us here in this auditorium wish that we could work somewhere else. We wish that we could be doing something else. Now, when it comes to the small number of people who actually are passionate, there might be a few people here saying, yes, I am very passionate about what I do. The question I have to ask you is this: why? Why are you passionate about what you do? Chances are the people who are passionate about their jobs are passionate for the wrong reasons. Maybe they love their title. Their title gives them a certain amount of prestige in the community, and they're passionate about the title. They're passionate about how people see them as a person of importance. Maybe you're passionate about your fame or your fortune, the money that your job brings, or the fame that you get from having a certain position. These people, they may be passionate about what they do, but they're more passionate about themselves than their job. They're passionate, but it's for the wrong reasons. Now, if you find yourself in either category here, either A, you're not passionate about what you do, or B, you're passionate about what you do, but for the wrong reasons, Paul's challenge is written to you. Paul is challenging the person who either is not passionate about what their job is, or they're passionate, but for the wrong reasons. Because the believer in the business place ought to be passionate about their employment, and we need to be passionate for the right reasons. In verse 23, Paul tells us what the source of our passion ought to be. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily or passionately as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, Christian, as believers in the business place, we must understand that Jesus should be the source of our passion. Jesus should be the source of our passion. We are called to be obedient to our earthly boss, not for personal promotion, but from a passion to obey Jesus. Do you grasp that? Let me repeat it, because I bet you fell asleep. We are not called to be obedient to our boss for the sake of promotion. We are called to be obedient to our boss because ultimately Jesus is our boss. Are you passionate about obeying Jesus? Do you have a passion to walk in obedience to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Understand, traditionally, the church, Christians, well, we've been known for classifying the church into two categories. There's clergy, those who work for the Lord, and laity, those who don't. It's not true, according to the Bible. There are Christians who, no matter what they do, work for the Lord. Period. And you can call some professional Christians, and they actually work at the church and commit themselves to teaching God's word and whatnot. And then those who work in the secular workforce, those people who might not go to the church every day and study the Bible, maybe they're cooking or cleaning, maybe they're doing art, or maybe they're doing some secular job in some sense. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible teaches us that no matter where we work, Jesus is our boss. We work for the Lord. Most Christians fail to understand that we are called to work as if Jesus were our boss. if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your place there in Colossians 3. We'll come back to it. But Paul wants us to understand. Paul wants us to be clear about one important fact when it comes to the believer in the business place. Christian, you are to work for your boss as if he were Jesus Christ. You are to work for your boss as if she were the Lord himself. That's what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians 6. Look at verse 5, where Paul writes, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." That's right. Our boss, in a spiritual way, it's Jesus, and we are to work for our earthly boss as if Jesus were standing right there. Now, when we discover that Jesus is truly our boss, we also realize that our income is far greater than the net value of our paycheck. Oh, we get that paycheck, whether we're salary and we get it once a month, or whether we're bi-monthly or weekly, and we get that paycheck and just go, "Oh man, I wish it was more than that." So maybe you do underhanded things to get more pay, or maybe you're willing to, you know, high-pressure salespeople, you know, for things that they really don't need so that you can get the income from that. Or maybe you're willing to do things that a Christian shouldn't do in order to increase the amount of the income that you have. You're failing to realize that if you would just walk in obedience and walk in truth, great is your reward in heaven for obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our treasure ought to be stored in heavenly banks, not here on earth. In Colossians 3:24, Paul wrote that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And so, yeah, we need to make money in this lifetime, but don't think for one second that the Lord is not going to provide for those who walk in obedience. You walk in obedience. You be passionate about serving Christ. You obey your boss from sincerity of heart as if you were serving the Lord Jesus Christ at your job. And He'll take care of your income. He'll make sure that you have your daily bread here in this lifetime. But more importantly, you will be storing up riches in heaven. And when we get there, what's your paycheck going to look like? Are you going to be bankrupt in heaven? I hope not. I hope not. Christian, no matter where you work, Jesus is your boss. And no matter how much you make, your reward ultimately is the inheritance which is received in heaven. And it's this fact that should keep us passionate about our job, even if you don't like your earthly boss. Your earthly boss can be the meanest person in the world. You might despise the person you work for. Many people do. And if that's the case, hold your place here in Colossians 3 and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. The fact of the matter is that many Americans are unhappy with their boss. CareerBuilder.com reports that only 58% of people who work for someone else say that they actually like their boss. 58% like their boss. That means 42% of Americans don't. That's a lot of people that don't like their boss. 42% of Americans don't like the person that they work for. 18% of people just tolerate their boss. And 5% actually said that they can't stand them. They despise the person that they work for. The fact is this, Christian. If you don't like your boss, it can be hard to have passion for the person that you're working for. It can be hard to have passion for going to work each and every day. But thankfully, Peter, he gives us the solution for discovering where our passion should lie when it comes to working for a boss that we don't like. 1 Peter 2, looking at verse 18, Peter writes, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this, you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Peter wrote this to encourage us that we can find passion to obey even the cruelest of bosses, even the harshest boss. You can find passion to obey that boss by simply considering the suffering and obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:8 tells us that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And Christian, I can almost guarantee you that your boss is not trying to crucify you. And you're struggling with obedience? Jesus even became obedient to the point of death on the cross. His Father, the one who sent him to do that work. And he was obedient all the way. So are you going to tell me that you can't find a passion to be a witness to your boss, even the harshest ones? Christ was obedient unto the death of the cross because he was passionate about saving those who would trust in him. He was passionate about you and passionate about me. And now he wants to fill you with his passion so that he can reach your boss through you. And your testimony about your faith will be seen through your sincere obedience to even the harshest boss. Jesus wants to fill you with his passion. And with the passion of Christ, you can love even the cruelest boss. You would just simply allow the passion of Christ to come into your life, flow through you, so that your boss can see that passion. The right passion. Understand, Christian, it doesn't come from having the best boss in the world. The right passion doesn't come because you love your work or you get a big paycheck. The right passion for work comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is your boss and that your reward comes from him. The right passion can also come from the warning that Paul gave in Colossians 3:25. Look at it with me. Paul writes in Colossians 3:25 that he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Understand that no matter what your job is, no matter what you do for a living, no matter what position you hold, you will be repaid. Whether you are passionately obedient or whether you are disobedient, you will be deserving of punishment. When it comes to complying with your earthly boss, Paul is pointing out and he's promising that there will be reward for those who obey their earthly boss. But conversely, Paul points out that there will be repercussions for those who don't. It's as if Paul is warning us that the believer in the business place should either become passionate about obedience or await punishment for their disobedience. Now, let's see. Passionate or punishment? Passionate or punishment? Passionate or punishment? Passionate punishment? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? Who wants to be punished? Who wants to be punished? Nobody. Wouldn't you rather be passionate about being obedient to your boss, knowing that your true boss is Jesus in heaven? He wants to shower his passion through you to love your boss in spite of his cruelness. Wouldn't you rather walk down that road than find out at the end of the day that you really deserve punishment because you were disobedient? The believer in the business place ought to be passionate about serving Jesus. And through that, they can be passionate about serving their earthly employee. Well, the believer in the business place ought to focus on the right promotion. That's the promotion of Christ through our life. The believer in the business place ought to be passionate about obeying Christ through obeying their boss. And finally, the believer in the business place should seek the right position. Okay, the right position. Because when it comes to our employment, the fact is, most people would rather be the boss. I mean, if we were honest, let's be honest for a moment. We want to be the boss, don't we? We want to have the right position. We want to be in charge. A recent Gallup poll shows that 69% of high school students want to start a small business. They want to be their own boss. Another report revealed that 70% of all Americans desire to be their own boss. And so the lion's share of people in America, from high school all the way up to retirement, the majority of people want to be the boss. Now, if you find yourself this morning in the position of boss, if you find yourself as like a manager over people or a boss in some shape or form, then realize that there are further responsibilities than that which the corporation is putting on you. You have greater responsibilities as a Christian to make sure that you are the kind of boss that Christ wants you to be. And here in Colossians chapter 4, Paul addresses the added responsibilities that believing bosses have. Look at Colossians 4, verse 1 there. Read along with me. It says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now, remember, in the context, Paul is writing to masters, masters being those who owned slaves. But again, this is not the focus of our study. We certainly should spend time at some point in time in this church speaking about how wrong it is, the history of slavery that this world has endured. And that is all wrong and should be addressed. But for this study this morning, we're talking about the relationship of the Christian in the workplace, the believer in the business place. That's the focus of our study. And so with that, masters then becomes the boss. The master would be equivalent to today's employer. And the first thing that Paul teaches here is the importance of believing bosses to be just. Here in verse 1, Paul teaches us that the believing boss must be just. And in a wide sense, this word just, well, it refers to the person who is upright and righteous and virtuous in the way that they lead those that they manage. This word also speaks of acting in such a way that is acceptable to God. Understand, if you are a manager or a boss in some shape or form, you are called to treat that employee that you oversee in the way that Christ would treat that employee. Paul is instructing the believing boss to apply their Christian beliefs to the way that they treat those that they oversee. In verse 1, Paul also teaches that the believing boss must be fair. So not only just, but fair. The word fair, it can also be translated equal. The Christian boss should show no partiality amongst their employees. The Christian boss shouldn't pay a woman less because of her gender. The Christian boss shouldn't promote an undeserving employee simply because, well, they're part of the good old boy club. They come from the same alma mater. The Christian boss is to come and treat their employees with equality. The believing boss is called to be just and fair. Furthermore, Paul teaches us that the believing boss must be accountable. Colossians 4:1 again says, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Here at the end of verse 1, Paul is reminding the believing boss that they will be held accountable to their boss in heaven. You see, every Christian boss or every Christian manager will one day stand before the one who said this, "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." We've also heard it said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And boss, manager, Christian, when you go and treat your employees in ways that you would never want to be treated, you will be held accountable for that. You will stand before the Lord Jesus, who required of you a higher standard than secular managers and secular bosses. Ultimately, Paul is teaching us that the believing boss must have the right heart if they are going to be a believer in the business place. Now, if you're a Christian who is seeking promotion for the wrong reasons, you have the wrong passion in order to attain the right position, understand, God is going to hold you responsible for how you treat those that you manage. And here's why. God is more interested that you have the right position in your heart than the right position at work. There's going to be many low-level employees that end up in heaven with many riches because they had the right heart in what they did. There's going to be many janitors in heaven who prayed for the kids at the school that they cleaned every day. And there's going to be pastors in heaven who are living in the slums of heaven, if you will, because they were just pastors for the publicity, for the applause of men. Christ is more concerned about the position of your heart than he is about the position that you hold in the world's workforce. Before you attempt to attain the right position at work, make sure that you have the right position in your heart, that you are submissive to Christ, that you're following his ways and his will. Then you can become the kind of believing boss that God would have you to become. Christians, when it comes to the believer in the business place, we have more responsibilities than our unbelieving counterparts. We are responsible not only to accomplish the work that is set before us, but we have the responsibility to do it with Christian integrity. We are called to engage in the promotion of Christian values by obeying our boss from sincerity of heart, with the passion of Christ. God wants to reveal himself to our co-workers. God wants to reveal himself to our boss, and he wants to use us to reach them. That is a further responsibility that unbelieving co-workers don't have. Therefore, Christian, we must go to work not necessarily seeking personal and professional promotion, not seeking the promotion of a new position, but seeking a position of humility. And through that position of humility, let us reveal the love of God through the way that we work, according to the passion of Christ. And if that would be our focus when we go to the business place, then we will fulfill our role as believers in the business place. And God will be glorified through the way that we work and through the words that we preach. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,